And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day, The Wrong Fear. The Wrong Fear. Plus, we're going to do something we haven't done before. We're going to look at something and identify it that this is a problem. And then we're going to look at something else and we're going to identify it again and we're going to let you know that this is even a bigger problem. And then we're going to finalize it all by giving the answer to the question, which is...
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and indeed prevailing. More than conquering. Victorious. Politics, entertainment, and current events, all three thrown out. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oh, no, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call at 866-577-2473, 866-K-PRAISE. Any topic is, of course, technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's justified radio. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a short break and then come back. But stand by for SRN News.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Been joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. A couple of reminders for you. Don't forget about the iPhone/Android/free app. It's an app that's free. That means it doesn't cost you anything to put it on your smartphone. You're welcome to do so. I think you'll get a better hear, or you get a better listen if you're using your smartphone. A lot of people using smartphones. You have to know that. Don't forget to reach out to us, David Spoon at KPRZ.com, and the Facebook page, The David Spoon Experience, amongst seven other ones that I don't even know the titles for. And then finally, we encourage you to check out HisAppointment.com. We're getting ready to get into kind of a firm teaching, but let's just say a challenging, not too much of a marshmallowy teaching. or discussion, as I like to say it. The first one is called The Wrong Fear. I don't know. Do we have a sound for this? We do. The Wrong Fear. What do you have for us?
But the one thing I'm not is a scaredy cat.
There you go. The wrong kind of fear. There are two kinds of fear in the Bible. If you are not familiar with that, there are two major components of fear. Actually, there are more than that, and there are, I think the big word is derivative of that. But here's the two I want to focus in on just for this discussion right now. The first is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Many people know that passage. It's in Proverbs. It's actually all over Scripture. But the understanding of the word fear in that capacity has to do with awe. Not ah darn, but awe is in reverence, appreciation, respect, and awe. One of the things that you and I should be in a regular basis is in regards to the great works of God, we should be in awe. We should be respecting. We should be in reverence for the things that he does. And in fact, we should, at a much greater level, be in appreciation for all that God does. There are many things, I think, that the testimony of time will bear out, that the Lord has done on our behalf that we might not even be aware of. And the passage in Psalm 68 where it says the Lord has saved us from deaths, it's like we don't even know how many times God has saved us individually, collectively, as a race. We don't even know. And so there should be this appreciation, this respect, this reverence, and there should be an awe. There is another element to that when we talk about fear, and that other element is one that has to do with expectation of terror, an expectation of evil, but most pronounced, the expectation of disaster. There is a third fear that has to do with trembling. And that's the fear that has to do with it when it says, fear him who cannot just kill the body, but him who can kill the body and the soul. That is not the all respect, appreciation, reverence. That's the trembling fear. But what I want to talk about that we kind of get caught into is the expectation of disaster. Those are processes or thoughts that we come up with when we say something to the effect of, well, I wonder when the other shoe is going to drop. That is an expectation of disaster. Almost in your mind, like an equaling out in the universe, because if something really good happens, you can't have something just stay that way. There's got to be an equalizer there. And for those that are unaware, in Proverbs 10:22, where it says that the Lord blesseth, or he maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, the Lord blesses people and doesn't drop the other shoe, so there's some kind of balance or something in the universal structure of things. That's not how it works. But that is what too many of us expect. We expect a balancing out. Well, I got this account. I'll probably lose another account. Well, I had this big blessing happen. Well, I didn't get a ticket there because I shouldn't have been doing that. And I apologize. But of course, now I'll get a ticket for something I didn't do. It's almost like there's this mindset that we anticipate something is going to take place like that. I want to go into this Luke chapter 1 portion, which we had already talked about in the previous hour, but I want to kind of dive into it just a little extra. It says here in Luke 1, 69 through 74, and this is Zacharias who's talking. He says, he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said through the holy prophets long ago, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy to our ancestors and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, and to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable to serve God without fear. Now that enabling to serve God without fear phrase is that we are enabled by Jesus Christ to serve God without an anticipation of disaster. You don't have to serve God and anticipate that this hammer is going to drop from heaven and squish you. God's goal in life is not to squish you. Without fear, God is in our lives to help us. There's not a goal. And I know there's some people that really think this, that this whole thing is like a petri dish and God's just doing these experiments and he's coming to like some psycho mad scientist like, oh! It's like, what kind of ridiculous insult is that? We can't do that. And I'm going to give you a couple of real specific elements to work on from this. First John 4:18 through 19 said, there is no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. And the one who fears is not made perfect in love. And we love because he first loved us. There is this misunderstanding that God is just there to smack us and correct us like an overzealous parent. Well, that's nothing could be further than the truth than that. If God wanted to call you on account for your sin, you would be eliminated at the moment of your accountability. You would cease to exist. That's what's worthy. That's what we're worthy of. But what he bestows upon us is greater than that. So we can serve God without this fear. And this is the part that is really important for us to grasp, that this expectation of disaster is in fact a bad faith. It's not that you don't have faith. Oh, you have faith. But it's where that faith is going. It's believing that God will leave you and I hanging out on a tree. That is a bad faith. I had somebody get in touch with me. I know you're crazy. Just listen to the story. And they were just really feeling like the Lord was like, no answering, nothing going on, zero, like nothing. And they had this, you know, unique dream. And in the dream, this person was on a tree, on a branch of a tree, hanging onto the branch of a tree, right? They're just hanging there. And the person was like going, Lord, Lord. And you know, whether this was the Lord or not revealing it, that this is how the person feels regardless. Maybe it's a manifestation of their subconscious. I don't know. But in the dream, an angel came to her and just simply said, why do you think I would let you just stay hanging in a tree? It's such an insult to God to think that God is so malicious that that's his goal. Do you know that when you and I are going through trials, God's not sitting there going, oh, this is so much fun. They're going through a trial. Look at them squirm. That's not what's going on. That when he conforms us into the image of Jesus Christ, there's purpose there. There's intent. There's carving of our character. There's a chiseling out of some of the excess rock and certainly some of the excess flesh so that our reflection can be more like Jesus. And that's how it should be. We have this opportunity to serve God without fear. We have this opportunity to serve God in an awe and respect and appreciation and reverence for God. We have this opportunity to operate with God where it's not as though he's leaving us hanging on a tree, but that he cares about us. Could you imagine if, as a parent, if you placed your child in a perilous situation, like a great tree, and you put them on a limb on a tree and then walked away and said, well, whatever. I mean, would that not be ultimately just the worst parenting? God doesn't do that with you and I. We need to break apart from this expectation of disaster that we have built into our walk. Now, maybe there's an expectation of disaster because we'll turn the television on and every other news story is about the latest disaster or the latest conflict, or every other Hollywood story is about the latest immorality, about the latest fight of righteousness, of which Hollywood is fighting against righteousness. Maybe it's because there's so much of that negative stuff that we have anticipated evil and disaster as our future and as inevitable. But I believe that, as Scripture makes it quite clear, God's intent is to make us reflect Jesus Christ according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and it's glory by glory. And we don't have to walk around in our lives expecting disaster around the corner. If you didn't get that job, if you didn't get that promotion, if you didn't get that sale, it doesn't mean God doesn't like you. We got to stop that. It's way too insulting. All right, when we come back, what I want to deal with is the problem, a problem that we can help create that you might get a hint out of in the book of Job. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more of the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Billions of people are cut off from access to the gospel, living in hard-to-reach places. Sometimes extreme poverty causes isolation. Others live in hostile communities. Their family may kill them if they acknowledge faith in Christ. The most efficient way to reach these people is by supporting a pastor that knows their language, lives like them, is one of them, and ready to start a church. I'm Steve Wheeler, the director of Whitefields Ministry. Since 1953, Whitefields has been supporting national pastors in the most remote villages, proclaiming the gospel to all people.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Will your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities? Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
Compassion is understanding the troubles of others.
Our Daily Bread.
Today's encouragement from the Our Daily Bread devotional was written by Dave Brandon. Dave writes, seven of us were attending a musical production at a crowded amusement park. Wanting to sit together, we tried to squeeze into one row. But as we did, a woman rushed between us. My wife mentioned to her that we wanted to stay together, but the woman quickly said, "Too bad," as she and her two companions pushed on into the row. As three of us sat one row behind the other four, my wife Sue noticed that the woman had an adult with her who appeared to have special needs. She had been trying to keep her little group together so she could take care of her friend. Suddenly, our irritation faded. Sue said, "Imagine how tough things are for her in a crowded place like this." Yes, perhaps the woman did respond rudely, but we could respond with compassion rather than anger. Dave continues, "Wherever we go, we will encounter people who need compassion." Perhaps these words from the Apostle Paul can help us view everyone around us in a different light, as people who need the gentle touch of grace. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. He also suggests that we bear with each other and forgive one another. As we show compassion, we will be pointing others to the one who poured out his heart of grace and compassion on us. You can access the daily devotional wherever you go with the Our Daily Bread mobile app. Visit getodbtoday.org. Today's encouragement was provided by Our Daily Bread Ministries.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Oh, a lot of stuff going on. We just want to thank Bill Gaither joining us. That was cool that he did that. And this hour we are talking, that was last hour. And by the way, if you ever want to get the shows, we've had this happen probably about 10 times in the last like week and a half. People are reaching out saying, you know, I want to be able to get a copy of the show. All the shows, except for the appeals, all the shows are on are podcasted, every one, over, you know, I think there's 1,050 shows. And you can reach that going to kprz.com. There's a link that says podcasts. And then also at davidspoon.com, there is another link there that said podcast. And that one split up into the last 50. And then what I say is the bazillion before that. So if it's the last 50, it's the most recent 50, and then a bazillion. But it's not really a bazillion. It's just kind of the way to say it. Okay? So you can either go to davidspoon.com or go to kprz.com, get that information. Okay, we've been talking about the wrong kind of fear and understanding that sometimes we can have a bad faith. And a bad faith is a faith that believes, it's a faith that's active, it just believes that God is going to do the worst. It's a faith that attributes to God not just negative behavior, but almost a cruel type of behavior, whereas the Lord blesses you, then you can count on your fingers how many seconds it's going to be or hours going to be before you get the other side of the shoe, so to speak, or the other shoe drops. And of course, Proverbs 10:22 says the Lord's blessings makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. The Lord doesn't bless people then just to throw a curveball into their life and create problems. That's not how God operates. It is how people operate, but it is not how God operates. It is how Satan operates. But it is not how God operates. And sometimes we can get fixated on an anticipation of disaster. You can get so fixated that it can start to disrupt our lives, disrupt the way we live, disrupt the way we think, disrupt the way we function. Sometimes we can get so committed to a circumstance, we're so entrenched in all of the nuances that it just brings us down because we're anticipating something not great coming from it. Job chapter 3, verse 25. Remember in Job chapter 1 and 2, Job did a stellar job, right? Didn't curse the name of the Lord, did fantastic. Unfortunately, in chapter 3, through chapter 31, Job didn't do quite as good. And there are 29 chapters where Job has a lot to say, and a lot of it's not the most positive. And in the beginning of his sharing, once some of the disappointment started catching up, and once he was like kind of feeling it, Job chapter 3, verse 25 says this, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." And there are way too many people that have created way too many scenarios of dread and of disaster. And they are fixating on it, and they're giving life to something that shouldn't even be there. I'm not sure if everybody, if we would agree on this or not, but I think if you're giving life to a concept that's really against you, you're certainly helping Satan use something against you. If you're thinking this disaster is going to happen and you walk around in nothing but fear, and your faith is the manifestation of this fear, I think you need to be careful. Because Jesus said, according to your faith, so be it. He never said, according to your faith, that's only positive and good, be it. He just said, according to your faith, so be it. And I think we can get so fixated and breathe life into something that shouldn't be there. And that becomes a sin in and itself. So there's a big problem. Do we have a sound for that big problem? Let's play that sound. There's a big problem because I want to get into what that problem is. Go ahead.
Houston, we have a problem.
Houston, we have a problem. What is the problem, Dave? Here it is, that the enemy is not unaware that he can use fear to restrict us and to bind us and to reduce us. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 through 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. In other words, Satan was holding the power of death and using the power of death to keep people in bondage relating to death. Jesus comes along. He brings life and immortality to light through the gospel, demonstrates that death is not by any means the end. It is not something to be afraid of if you are in Christ, because in Christ there is resurrection power and there is fellowship with God. So Jesus comes in authoritatively, demonstratively, and demonstrates that death is not the end of anything and that there's more to go. And Satan loses his grip of bondage on people who are afraid of death. But you must understand that he used that fear to put people in a bondage, and that's the problem now, that he puts people in bondage through these different fears. Every one of these are broken in the name of Jesus, but not if you don't apply the deliverance of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that the enemy used the power of death. The enemy's the devil, and he used the power of death to keep people in slavery by their fear of death. So Jesus comes along, and he breaks that. But now Satan uses anything else he can use that's fearful, that he can put us in bondage and try and keep us in bondage through that fear, whatever it is. You might be afraid of loneliness. You might be afraid of unworthiness. It's amazing if you think about it, because, well, I'm afraid of being alone, Dave. Yes, but God said he will never leave you nor forsake you. So you're never alone. But there and again, you have to use the prevailing power of Jesus Christ to understand and break through that. It is that the veil that restricts people from seeing the truth, that veil is done away in Jesus Christ, and that's the way we have to see things in order to get past those slavery moments, those bondage moments. And the devil has some of you in bondage. I mean, if it's not death, it's money. If it's not money, it's some form of health. If it's not health, it's family relationships. If it's not that, it's work. Those are the top areas that the devil goes after, holds us in bondage with, making us literally trying to make us slaves to the fear of it. The impending disaster, the expectation of disaster that's heading our direction because of work or because of this relationship. And that fear binds us, restricts us, and hurts us. And the devil is all too glad to use it against us. He tried to do it with death, the ultimate, and Jesus broke that bondage. And the Bible says in Jesus Christ, by the way, we are free. There is freedom in Christ Jesus, and not to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. Well, there's a freedom there, but the enemy tries to entangle us again in bondage to fear, whatever the category. I don't know what you're afraid of. Think about the two or three things you're afraid of. That's what the enemy's trying to use against you. And that's a big problem. We need to be free from fear of death, which Jesus made clear, but we need to also be free from the fear that's from the enemy that he's trying to use against us. I said that, but guess what? That's a big problem. When we come back, we're going to talk about a bigger problem, one that's much more pointed. When we return, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
More local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
The alarm goes off, but until you get your first cup of coffee, you're not awake.
Oh, coffee, coffee, coffee. Hey, honey, how you doing this morning?
We all need a little time to transition from sleeping to being fully awake and functional. But not God, though. He's always ready to hear from you. The Bible says,
"He who watches over you will neither slumber nor sleep."
Whatever your need is, and whenever it arises, God is ready to listen. And you can always find direction and inspiration from God in the Bible. In fact, setting aside time every day to read God's Word and talk to Him in prayer can do wonders for your outlook on life, even if you do still need your morning coffee.
You can learn more at this website. It's findpeacewithgod.net. It's from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
For restoring hearing loss, technology has moved beyond the traditional hearing aids our parents used. Now there are implants and other nearly invisible inner ear devices that make it possible to hear clearly. When Jesus Christ spoke, many people in his day acted like they couldn't hear what he was saying. So he addressed the subject of hearing, but he was talking about spiritual hearing, and he invited them to listen again by saying, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." To hear God spiritually, the only hearing aid available is a change of heart. Fortunately, such a change is available today. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover what God is saying on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Been talking about fear and talking about the wrong kind of fear. We're talking about fear that is good, fear of the Lord's beginning of wisdom, awe, respect, appreciation, reverence. We didn't really cover trembling, which would be the portion in Fear Not Him Who Can Kill the Body, but Him Who Can Kill the Body and the Soul. So we didn't talk about that too deeply, but we did go right towards the expectation of disaster and the fears that we encounter. One of the things that Tugboat Todd and I just talked about is that difference of fear when you're younger and when you're older. When you're younger, you know, it's probably a little more either socially oriented, right? It's a little more along those lines because you're kind of trying to fit into society. Do you think that's right?
Yeah, I think it's socially kind of stuff, and you don't want to stick out. You don't want to look like a fool and stuff. And I also think it's more timely as far as time-wise. I think it's more instant. You're kind of worried about what's going on in that day. Whatnot. I think when you get older, it's more individual and more long-term fear.
Yeah, a little more around the corner versus when you're maybe younger, you're looking more at the straightaway that you're on kind of mentality.
I think so.
I think that's pretty good perception on that. We also talked about a big problem that we have, and that is, you know, what Job said in 325, Job 325, the thing I feared the most has come upon me, and recognizing that the enemy uses things that we are afraid of. Now, he tried to use death for the longest time, but then Jesus came and blew that apart, but he still uses things in our lives that we fear, things that work against us, and he tries to use those to put us into a bondage, and that's a problem. And he is active in this realm. He is he's a thief, comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a lot of negativity that arises from killing, you know, stealing, killing, and destroying. I mean, that's not a lot of positive is what I'm trying to get at. So we need to be aware of that. But with that, there's even a bigger problem, because Satan is a problem in the realm of fear. But he may not be the biggest problem. I want to talk about a problem that I think, personally, may be bigger. Do we have a sound clip for the bigger?
Houston, we have a
bigger
problem.
Yeah. See, the last one was a big problem. This is a bigger problem. You're thinking, well, what would be bigger than Satan using fear against us as a bondage? Doing it to yourself would be a bigger problem. Satan using it against you is a form of spiritual warfare. Doing it to yourself is self-destruction. So let's talk about that. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 says this: immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." There's three major components here you must catch. One is what happens when we operate in fear, what it produces. Can I tell you something? I'm going to pull this. We'll call this a stretch out of Scripture. I'm telling you ahead of time I'm stretching it, okay? But I think it's a valid stretch, and here's what I see as I look at it. In Matthew 14, 22, 3, 4, 5, Jesus comes walking on the water, and because they're afraid, they're already in this fear mode. They see Jesus and they think Jesus is a ghost, right? What happens when they think he's a ghost? They cry out, "It's a ghost," and they cry out in fear. I think that fear in operation in our lives shuts down our ability to see the divine. I don't think they were able to see it was Jesus because the fear in their lives so reduced the faith in their lives, they couldn't see God in the picture. Now, it's a little bit of a stretch, I know. But don't tell me that you haven't gone through that, where you operate in such a large amount of fear that you stop seeing God in the midst of the picture. And it looks like a disaster. Or it looks like a ghost. And there's terror, and you're crying out in fear. Have you ever gone through that? I've gone through that 100 times, where I don't see God, but the fear has gripped me, and all I can see is impending doom and disaster, and that's me doing it to myself. I don't think that's Satan doing it at all. I think that's David doing it to David, because I'm not operating in faith. I'm operating in fear, and then I can't see that it's God. I just can't see as well. I think fear distorts our vision. You know how we're supposed to walk by faith and not by sight? Well, faith is supposed to alter our vision so we have a better picture of what's going on. If that's true, and Scripture makes it absolutely sure it's true, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we know it's true, then what happens when we see with fear? In other words, if we see with faith, you get to see God enter into a picture. But if you see with fear, you don't see God in the picture. And then your vision is distorted. So it's not just putting on those Jesus glasses. It's also making sure that you don't put on those fear glasses that distort the real vision of what's going on. And it's not just that our ability to see the divine diminishes when we see with fear, but when we are operating in fear, you know what else you can't do? You can't walk on top of the water. As soon as Peter started absorbing his circumstance in fear, he began to sink. When he saw the wind, he was afraid and, beginning to sink, cried, "Lord, save me." His fear... He was afraid, and his fear put him in a position where one minute he was walking on top of the water, then he saw it in fear, now he's sinking. That's what fear does. Fear stops our ability to see the divine, and fear stops our ability to walk on top of the water. That's what happens. And the third thing that I want you to catch is how many times, you know, Jesus is the one saying, don't be afraid, don't be afraid, don't be afraid. I will tell you this. I was going to save this for the next section, but I'll tell you right now. 77 times in Scripture, in the NIV version, it says, do not be afraid. 33 times it says, have no fear. That's 110 times in Scripture. God is saying, don't be afraid, 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 don't be afraid. And why does he do that? Well, 2 Timothy 1:7 gives us a pretty good insight. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. It is not God's desire for you to operate in fear, period. That is not the intent. Or Jesus rebuked the disciples for a whole lot of nothing. Because he told them on more than one occasion, don't be afraid. Stop being afraid. Why are you having so much fear? Why are you filled with fear? Why are you letting that take over? Why are you seeing that way? He said it time and time and time again. You think it applies? Yeah. He wants us to see with faith, and that's something that we step up to. But when we operate and see in fear, we step down. And fear stops us from seeing the divine. It stops us from walking on top of the water. It's not what God desires of us and how for us to walk. It's a big problem that Satan uses fear against us. It's a bigger problem that we let fear come against us ourselves and be a part of that. That's a bigger problem. And when you see with fear, it is clear that the picture before you is divineless, is godless, because it always looks like it's a disaster waiting to happen. You know, if you read the end of the book, we do win. We are winning. We do win. Oh, there'll be some tough times, but we win. We need to be careful, because fear really robs us, whether it's coming from the hand of Satan or whether it's coming from the inside of ourselves, and reduces us and limits us and immobilizes us and depresses us. And you don't want to be falling into the hands of fear. So when we come back, I'm going to just give the couple quickie answers, just three quick answers. It's really tough. The answer to the question is, and I'm going to give you three answers, and if you use any of these, they will help. And that's what you need to remember. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Pastor Ray Bentley invites you to celebrate Easter with the family at Maranatha Chapel in San Diego.
He is risen just as he said.
Discover what Easter means.
It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
And Pastor Ray welcomes a special music guest, Sarah Groves. Easter at Maranatha Chapel with Pastor Ray Bentley. Join us for a Good Friday service at noon, then four Easter services to choose from. Saturday evening at 6 and Sunday morning at 6:30, 8:30, and 10:30 with special music by Sarah Groves. Maranatha Chapel Easter weekend, April 14th through 16th. For details and directions, go to maranathachapel.org.
It's likely the most misunderstood phrase to come out of the Reformation was the priesthood of all believers. This is Jim Garlow. This year, we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the dramatic event when Martin Luther posted his 95 theses on the door of the church in Wittenberg, igniting the Protestant Reformation. And perhaps the most popular phrase to come out of that period, the priesthood of all believers. The most popular, but also the most misunderstood. What was Luther saying? Not that every person is his own personal priest, but that every person functions as a priest to others. You and I can't pat ourselves on the back and say how impressive we are because we're a priest. Not at all. The New Testament speaks of only two priesthoods, that of Christ and that of all believers. And our priesthood is a call to servanthood. We'll do our part, keeping you informed at jimgarlow.com.
Recently on Washington Watch Live, Tony Perkins talked about the repeal of North Carolina's bathroom law.
In its effect, this bill doesn't do a whole lot. It was ill-conceived. It wasn't needed. It's a reflection of spineless legislators. The problem I have with this is that legislators are signaling that they will yield their authority and responsibility to the courts. It's not up to the courts to decide. This is a public policy and a public safety issue. It's time for these legislators to man up and take the responsibility they've been given. This is how they sidestep tough issues. And I see it. And none of these who voted for this should ever whine again about activist courts. That's what really bothers me about this, not the immediate effect of this bill.
You can find out more when you visit TonyPerkins.com.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Brief reminder that you can send an email, davidspoon@kprz.com. Don't forget, again, on the half-price tuition, if you want to talk to me about it directly, get in touch with me. Send me an email. I'll be glad to talk to you about that. So I'm just getting word from Tugboat Todd right now that there is no sound on this last segment. Is that correct? Because you said sound and no sound.
No sound.
There's no sound. We need to have a violin sound that says there's no sound, like...
But then wouldn't that be a sound?
Yeah, then that way it will be a sound. But there'd be no sound. It would be the sound for no sound.
The sound for no sound. I like that.
That way you have a sound. All right, we've been talking about fear. Many of you are afraid this show is going to keep going. It will, but not for more than 9 or 8 or 6 more minutes or whatever that is. We've been talking about fear at different levels. Two kinds of main fear in Scripture: awe, respect, appreciation, reverence, and then also the evil disaster anticipation type of fear. We had a discussion about understanding that faith in the wrong direction is still an act of faith. There's no such thing as all faith must be good faith. There's nowhere in Scripture it says that. And in Job 3:25, the very thing that Job feared the most, he said, "The thing I feared the most has come upon me." And Jesus said, "According to your faith," not "according to your faith if it's positive and plush and looks nice like, like a flower." Hey, it's according to your faith, so be it. And there's a level of that where we need to understand that the enemy uses fear against us. And that is true. He does. He'll find an area that there's a sense of fear, and he'll try and use that to put us in some sense of bondage. Well, what we covered last segment was understanding that we can also contribute to that sense of bondage ourselves, producing or allowing fear to produce within ourselves. And fear does shut down that ability to see the divine. It does shut down our ability to walk on top of the water in a circumstance. And it is not something that God desires for us, because he's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So I'm just going to give you three straightforward responses. We have the wrong fear often that we operate in. We need to understand it's a problem when Satan takes advantage. We need to understand it's a bigger problem when we allow our flesh to take advantage. Here is a straightforward answer on prayer. It's not even going to take that long. Three straight things. One, Psalm 23, verse 4. "Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The statement David makes in Psalm 23, verse 4 is, "I will fear no evil." It is a decision to approach fear in certain ways. He says, "I will fear no evil. I've made the choice. I'm not going to do it." You know, it's not about engaging on the feelings of the fear. It's about fighting it. And when that fear comes against you, and yes, it uses feelings to come against you, and yes, it has a close association, and yes, it has a grip, you have to fight it. And David said, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid. Even though he walked through the valley of the shadow of death, it was a decision-making process, and he stood in that decision. That's one, that we have to make a decision not to operate in fear, a conscious decision. Number two, Hebrews chapter 13, 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? You know, here's an important part, that we understand the Lord is our helper and that we don't need to be afraid because what people can or can't do doesn't matter, because the truth enables us to break the power of a lie. So when you are afraid that you are worthless and God says, I paid the blood of Jesus Christ for your sins and to buy you back from your separation into my fellowship, you can understand that God's truth makes it clear that you are worth something. Doesn't matter whether your feelings are fighting you on that or not. God's opinion is more important than your feelings. I know there's people in Hollywood, oh, it doesn't make any sense. I don't understand it. It's like, whatever. 2 + 2 = 4, whether you bang your finger with a hammer or not, and whether you scream up and down and jump up and down, and it feels like your head's going to pop off your head, it's still 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't change. Truth doesn't change like that. So we need to understand that there's a decision that we need to make, and part of that decision process is finding freedom and deliverance in God's truth against some of these lies that bring fear into our hearts and minds. My favorite, though, is Psalm 34:4. Is that okay? I'm going to just tell you. So one, you make a decision. Two, you stand in the truth. And three, Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord. And he answered me, he delivered me from all of my fears. Getting through the fear process still requires the help of God. And you and I should be more than aware that whether we're fighting Satan or whether we're fighting our flesh and we make a decision and we stand in God's truth, we need to come before the Lord in prayer and say, help. Because deliverance from fear requires the help of God. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. God helps in that process. But there is that first part right there, right? You got that, right? I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. We have to do the seeking. We have to stand in the truth. We have to make the decision. But it requires God's help. Fear has been a tool used against mankind for a very long time. The best tool against it is the power of the truth, the love, the grace, the mercy, the kindness, and the protection of God Almighty, given to us through the Lord Jesus Christ and empowered in our lives by the Holy Spirit. All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we'll be back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The David Spoon Experience on K-Praise, 1210 AM. KPRZ.
Hey, K-Praise friends. Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free...